the day.
Or is tonight the night? That's a better way to put it. All that matters for me right now is Boston Bruins tonight. And I've thought about this over the last 24 hours. I really came up with it yesterday while I was on a jog for the first time in probably 4 months. And then prior to that, probably a year. Yesterday, I was able to jog 2 miles without stopping, which was nice. Like, okay, cool. I don't know how fast I was going. Not as fast as I was back in the day, but at a reasonably decent enough speed. And today, my legs hurt all over, every muscle in the leg, sore. It's what happens when you don't do anything for a while, people. But I think I might get back into running for a little bit. I think I'm at a stage in life where I'm just going to make some positive life choices. And I feel as though I will be rewarded for making those positive life choices. But on my way into work here, I start to think about what I was thinking about during the run yesterday. And that's that, you know something, I'm not worried as a Bruins fan. I'm not worried that we might blow this. I'm actually like angry now. Because last year, we had that terrible collapse. And like, I ain't going out like that. This is the Boston Bruins. We're Boston sports fans. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid that same thing's going to happen this year. I'm mad that people are thinking like that. And tonight, the Boston Bruins are going to go on to the Toronto Maple Leafs home ice and kick their tail. The Bruins are wrapping things up tonight. This is a sports machine with slim guarantee. You know, yesterday I got a message from the Pistol after the show. It says, too much hockey talk yesterday. You got to make room for me tomorrow. I said, hey, absolutely, man, when you want to come on. He's coming on in segment 3 today. Thomas Polk will be here, segment 2. There were a bunch of random things I wanted to make sure I'm able to talk about. The Bruins, I could go all day. I could just keep on going and going and going and going. What are we going to do? I almost want to bench Pat Maroon just to mess with everybody on the team. And the fact that, I mean, you weren't here all year, dude, and we did just fine without you. Now you're here. We like you. We like your leadership. But you got to do something on the ice, man. You're slow, and you haven't made any real impact here since game one. So you can't just be given a spot because you've won 3 Stanley Cups in the past. But I'm wondering if Thomas Polk would say, no, Jim, that's not the right way to look at it. So I'll maybe run that by him. The Boston Celtics did, in fact, wrap things up against the Miami Heat yesterday, and I heard that the Heat actually had more threes in game two than they had in the combined efforts of games 3, 4, and 5. Jaime Jaquez being out yesterday, there's nothing they could do, man. Tyler Hero just gets abused way too much on the defensive end. I know that Danny Ainge wanted to draft Tyler Hero back in the day, right? Danny was still here. I'm pretty sure he was in charge of all the front office decisions back during that draft, and Tyler Hero got taken before we had a chance to get him. Looking back now, it's like, well, I mean, I guess I would love him if he was on our team, but when I watch going against the guy, his defense, would he be a better defensive player if he was on the Boston Celtics right now? I don't know. He'd certainly be better on this team with the defensive weapons we have on the Celtics team. I love the Celtics. What more are we going to say? Like, okay, good. You guys beat Miami. Like, Miami without their 3 of their best players last night. A Miami team that could only get into, like, the 50s. Midway through the third periods, game 3 and game 4. You want to pat yourselves on the back? Go ahead. And I see Jason Tatum. This is the lead thing on ESPN. Well, we're learning from our mistakes in the past. Like, dude, there's no learning from mistakes. You just beat a horrible team. That's it. It's like, it's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. You, if you'd lost 2 or 3 games to Miami, like, what? I mean, does that mean you didn't learn from last year's playoff failure? Like, it just means you guys don't care. So I'm not going to give you a pat on the back for beating Miami in 5. You should have beaten them in 4. At least now, the last few games, you showed up. You wanted to take them down, take them out, and that's what we went and did. I'm more concerned about, I want to watch the Bruins. I want to see the Bruins because I don't expect that they should easily win. I know some people out there say, oh, well, we're better than Toronto. Listen, look at the regular season standings. We were like 5 points better than them. Like, these two teams are close. Toronto's good. Auston Matthews is incredible. And they got top-end talent on Toronto. We can't just say, oh, we're better than them. Like, just why? Because we're from Boston and they're not? No, Toronto's got a good team. That's what Thomas Polk always talks about here. And he'll be on saying it again. He says it most times. Like, hey, Toronto wasn't just going to roll over. But the Bruins, in a game five loss, where we did not play well at all, we only gave up one goal in regulation. What does that tell you? After games three and game four, we went on the road to Toronto and spanked them. What it tells you is, like, dude, the Bruins probably are better than Toronto. Now, you need to come and bring a full, focused effort and get some reasonable, even luck and maybe an even whistle from the refs and go and control your outcome. Game six, this is the only thing that matters tonight. Because if the Bruins win this series, I'm all in. I'm all in anyway. Even if they lose this game tonight, I'm all in for game seven on moving forward. Like, we play Florida next. Guess what? That's the team that beat us last year. We beat them four times this year. 4-0 against Florida. Let's go. We're going to move past Florida, too. We're wrapping this series up tonight, and then we're moving on to Florida, and we're going to cross them off the list next. Then, let's see if it's the Rangers or Carolina. I see the Rangers are up to +140 odds in that series. I don't understand what's going on. I know people have made Carolina the favorites to win it all, but does that mean they're definitely going to win it all? No. If I could take a page out of the pistol book, I might say, wow, look at that NBA series over there with Dallas and the Clippers. It just shows you how crazy the sports world is. The Clippers win a game four where everybody thought they were going to lose. P.J. Washington was crossing his arms, talking all kinds of trash, ends of game three. And then you figure Dallas is just playing great because Clippers looked awful. They come back. They spanked Dallas in game four. Now last night, what happens? You're at home, the Clippers, and Dallas just comes in and spanks them. 123-93, something like that. Luka just turds all over these guys on the Clippers. I don't understand what's going on with these guys. The Clippers, great collection of talent, but Russell Westbrook cannot shoot. My offer stands. I'm a better three-point shooter than you are today. Let's do it. I'll put my money where my mouth is. Unfortunately, I have a piece of bad news to relay to everyone, and this helped to get me fired up. On the drive-in, the car in front of me, as I was in Concord, I look at the license plate. It's New Hampshire license plate. 86-METS. The license plate says 86 Mets. There's a New Hampshire person who was like, huh, let me just rub this in all of your faces every single day and drive around with this as my license plate so you can remember the pain Bill Buckner and that team caused you, you Bruins fans, you Red Sox fans, you Celtics fans, you Patriots fans. You're all, remember when you guys are just a bunch of losers? And that got me fired up. They took a right turn. I almost followed them. They were going into a parking lot. I almost wanted to pull up next to them. Hey, what's, you're a Mets fan, huh? Yeah, how they been doing the last bunch of years? Nice to live in the past, isn't it? Guess what? I'm living in the present tonight. We're about to take down the curse of Tom Brady in this region. The Celtics and the Bruins have the teams to do it. The Celtics, we know, are moving past the next round. Cleveland or Orlando, nice team Orlando. I like Orlando's players a lot, actually. Just too young, not ready. Celtics are steamrolling through those two. Either of them. Then we match up after that. Who? Maybe the 76ers. I'm going to save it for the pistol, but I really strongly like the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Their owner, we can discuss it more later. Their owner bought 2,000 tickets plus to tonight's game. I guess giving them away to like first responders, firemen, and stuff like that. Because so many of the Knicks fans bought tickets to one of their home games. Remember, I think it was game four. Joel Embiid was crying about it. So the 76ers owner says, hey, let me buy a bunch of tickets so we can drown out. The 76ers fans are going to bring the noise tonight in the Philadelphia Stadium. Fans matter. You Bruins fans out there, come with the right mentality tonight. Be angry. Let's take care of business. And let's listen to what Thomas Polk has to say when we return from this commercial break. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, 86 Mets. This is NHTalkRadio.com. Running like the Kentucky Derby will be on Saturday. Segment four, I'll throw some 2 cents in there, give you just a touch of information that I heard on my drive in today. Let's get more than just a touch of information here with Thomas Polk, a local licensed health insurance broker and a Medicare broker. Thomas, welcome on a Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know if you heard my take from earlier, but I'm not worried as a Bruins fan. I'm actually angry after what's gone on here last year and the whole build-up into this year. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm not going out like that. I will not allow it to happen. I'm personally guaranteeing a Game 6 victory for the Bruins.
I'm with you. I did a little fun bracket challenge there at the NHL office on their website with some of my friends, and I had the Bruins in 6.
Well, how'd you do in the other series that have finished so far?
So far, the bracket is almost perfect. I actually thought that Tampa was going to beat Florida. I was hoping, you know, usually there's one lower seed in the first round, maybe two, and I had Tampa. I do like the team. I think they're awesome. They just didn't have it. Florida was too strong. That's the only one that fell so far.
At the beginning of the NHL playoffs, Thomas, I remember I was predicting mostly underdogs. I just felt that it's wide open, so much competitiveness, but no, the top tier have kind of rolled on through, and not for nothing, if the Bruins win, then it was the top four seeds from the East all moved forward somewhat easily.
Yeah, it seems that way, and I think the Bees are going to get it done, and on our end, like you said, the four in the East moved on. I believe that Colorado actually moved on, and I think they were the actual lower seed. Winnipeg, at the end of the year, right, the last couple of games, squeaked it out and went ahead of them and finished second, and the Avs finished third. They ended up beating them 4-1, which looked pretty easily to them. But, you know, they have a strong team. They're just a couple of years out from their cup run. They got some awesome players there. So we knew they were going to be a contender in the West.
Well, as you bring up some of the other NHL series, I saw last night Dallas beat Las Vegas by a score of 3-2. Now, Las Vegas won it all last year. That's Cassidy, who's the former coach of the Bruins, is coach of Las Vegas. And he made a change at goaltender, right? I guess the same goalie had started for the first four games. It was 2-2 in the series, and they pulled him. What's the story with that? Do you know?
I'm not sure why he pulled him. But, you know, the guy they put back in the net is the guy who came in halfway through last year and then won him the cup. So it's not some minor league goalie that they just pulled out of there and, like, were throwing a Hail Mary. Obviously, Hill is a really great goalie as well. Why they changed it, I'm not sure. I have to say that Vegas-Dallas game, that was just too late. I didn't, you know, stay up for that one.
Yeah, there's too many playoffs games going on here to follow everything intimately. It just seemed like, oh, okay. I saw people exploding online on Twitter. This Twitter, it's a vile place, but people saying, what is Cassidy doing? Why is he making this change? And I was like, I don't know. What's he doing? What's going on here? And I just learned enough to see about the goaltending situation. Tonight, have you heard any words? I you're not a big social media guy at all, so I'm wondering where your mindset is at. Do you have any idea from the goalie standpoint who Montgomery is leaning towards starting?
I have no idea, and I don't know if he came out and said it. I personally would go back with Swayman. I mean, the guy has done nothing wrong, absolutely nothing playing against the Maple Leafs. So why not put him back in the net? Having said that, if he wants to throw Allmark in, I'm sure he's fine too. Again, we know we have two great goaltenders. At the end of the day, we will know after the game if he made the right decision or not. And it's always easy for us to debate and criticize him afterwards. The only way for him to be right is to get a win.
I do think, Thomas, that it would be great in the locker room if Ullmark starts tonight and they get the win. It's just a matter of like, hey, all hands on deck. Hey, Brazo, you were injured. You worked so hard. You got back. You're finally ready to play. Hey, we put you in. Everybody's kind of getting their chance. And if Ullmark starts tonight and does get the win, I just feel the whole locker room looks around at each other. It's like, hey, you're contributing. Hey, you're part of the team. We're all in it. It's still great if Swayman wins, whatever. But I can just see a little extra team building thing if Ullmark happens to get the start tonight and win.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I think the one thing he will not do is if he puts in Swayman today, win or lose, right? Obviously, win, you move on, right choice. If Swayman loses again, he will play him game seven. He's not going to do what he did last year because that was not, you know, and he said it in the interviews last year. It wasn't the right thing to do to throw Swayman in a game seven must-win situation. So, hey, you never know. Obviously, he worked for Toronto last game, putting Wool in the net, and I'm sure we'll see him again tonight. Let's see if he can have back-to-back wins against the Bruins.
I'm on board with that.
A pretty stiff ask. So I do think whatever he does, if he switches to Ullmark, that's fine. Ullmark's a great goalie. I think we can have a win with him as well. And you know him getting that second chance after having their first loss. Ullmark's not going to lose that second game. So either way, I think they'll be fine. But what he ends up doing, I'm not sure what their thought process is.
Well, that's it. I love the mindset thinking of Ullmark, right? You know, you started one game this series and you lost. You are chomping at the bit. If you get the go tonight, man, you're like, yes, this is my chance. And we get the chance to close it out. You know, all the players are coming over you. Come on, Ullmark, let's go. Let's get this thing done. It's just there's a big vibe and hopefully we cash it in. But I'm with you. If Swayman starts tonight, he has to start game seven too. You're not switching back because, I mean, you're trying to build this guy's confidence for the long term. And hey, if he fails three in a row, well, that would just be horrific. But it's not going to happen. I said, I'm personally guaranteeing the victory tonight. Did you not hear me say that earlier, Thomas? Why am I saying
otherwise?
No,
you did about a minute and a half ago. So, no, I'm with you. I think they're going to take care of business. I put that in. I don't know. I knew Toronto was going to stick around. I knew they weren't going to go down easy. I think, obviously, the pressure that they're going to have. And, you know, if they do go down, they better find a underground tunnel out of that rink somewhere because the fans are going to be waiting on the other side. But, you know, it'll be a good game. It will be a good game. It won't be easy. They're not going to go down quiet.
Oh, I'm tuned in. Like, I'm already ready. I cannot wait. My whole day is built around the Boston Bruins playoff game tonight. Like, everything else is shut out. I don't care. I just want to go out. And I want to see us just come out of the gates, like, with the team having the same energy that I will. And I just believe that's going to happen. I just believe this team is smart and motivated on the Bruins, and I trust in Monty, baby. So hopefully that's enough to get it through. In the end, this is just words. My guarantee is a guarantee, but, you know, it's just a word. We know this.
No, they're going to come out. And obviously that first goal, that all-important first goal, we know statistically speaking, your chances of winning are way higher if you get that first goal, but they come out, they get that first, maybe get that second. It just crushes the Leafs on the other end. You know their season is over. They know, damn, this is happening for the, what, sixth time in 7 years that we're exiting in round one. So the Bruins got to come out and score the first one or two goals. They just have to. They can't come out and be flat like they were last game and give the Leafs any hope, any life at the beginning.
If they do, it's going to crush me. I mean, they need to think about my thoughts and feelings when they take the ice tonight. If they come out flat like they did in game five, I mean, I'm just going to be, what did I spend all this time, all this season? I thought they were one thing, and now they're totally another. This is horrific. It's going to absolutely crush me. They can't do this to me, Thomas.
No, they'll be all right. They'll help you out this time.
I feel they will. They're ready. They are ready for the moment. And I can tell, if you're a player in that locker room, you don't want to hear any more about last year. Like, I don't want to hear about last year anymore. This is a new team. We got new guys. Let's craft our own destiny here. We shut out all the noise. All the rest of this stuff is just noise. Thomas, you've been level-headed all season long. And I are you going to enjoy the win tonight as much as I am? Who do you feel is a stronger Bruins fan, you or me?
You're probably a stronger Bruins fan than I am. I like the Bruins, and I'm happy with the way they played. I'm just more of a hockey fan as a total. I don't really, you know, it's not really going to have any sleepless nights if they don't win.
I'm going to be angry. My first thought when I open my eyes tomorrow, and I'm not even betting on it. It has nothing to do with gambling. My first thoughts tomorrow morning are going to be either, yay, we won, or what happened last night? And my mood will follow around all day long.
Yeah, they'll be okay. I truly believe that they will close it out, and then we'll have an awesome series against Florida to redeem ourselves there, because they basically took it to us last year. And yeah. I know it's a different team, but overall, for the guys that were in the locker room last year, they do remember, and they do want to get back there to play Florida and show them that we are a better team than them. We can beat them.
It's awesome that we are lined up to play Florida next. I feel in my mind, it's just like, yeah, let's get there. Like rabid dogs. Like, okay, come on. We want revenge on you. Thomas, we're heading to commercial. What's the final score going to be tonight?
It's going to be a tight game, but the Bruins are going to win 4-2 with an empty net.
4-2. Take it to the bank. Thomas Polk right there. This man knows what he's talking about. Thank you so much, Thomas. I'll text with you here as the night goes on, hopefully. And I will be back to talk with the Pistol here when we return from commercial break on The Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord and 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. This is New Hampshire Talk Radio. Into the Kentucky Derby preparation. That race is so fun. Was it the fastest 3 minutes in sports? Is that what they call it? Something like that. It's an all-day affair for some people. Friday-Saturday affair for the true degenerates, because you have the females run on Friday. The three-year-old fillies run Friday. Find out who the three-year-old Kentucky Oaks winner is, and then on Saturday, the boys go in the Kentucky Derby. I think that race will start up around 6:30. The Pistol will start up right around now to give us some insight into, I guess, his NBA mind.
Slim, I feel like I'm in a first-person shooter with hockey-masked pundits coming for me, but I've got my two Colt 45s cocked and ready to hold down my hoop slot. Don't worry, Hoops fans. The Pistol has got you covered, like kicking it out to Derek White the three.
Smooth, nothing but net. Nice entrance there. Yeah, no, listen, I yesterday was a day I needed to dedicate plenty of time to my Bruins people. But moving forward, since you have lodged such an official, well-worded, polite objection, I will maintain at least a 50-50 ratio moving forward. Is that enough of a commitment? Do you need to stop your protest now? Do you feel like you've gotten enough to satisfy your needs?
50-50 sounds good until the Bruins are out, and then you got to go a little more NBA.
The Bruins ain't going to be out for a long time, I'm just telling you, so we can use your time here debating how far the Bruins are going to go, or we can let you talk about how pathetic the Miami Heat letdown was over this series.
Wow, the Miami looked terrible in that series. They've got a long ways to go to rebuild that team. It looks like they're getting old. Obviously, they had some guys injured, but those guys are not getting any younger. So Miami's looking towards a rebuild, I think. But that's what happens to a lot of teams to go out in the first round, right? Like, what's Phoenix thinking now?
Thinking they need to be making some changes. I'm thinking about what's going through the mind of Pat Riley. I just love to see him suffer. Pat Riley caused me so many miserable days during my childhood and all the way through my 20s, 30s, 40s. It's like just a nightmare of a man who keeps coming back to revisit me with that gel slicked back haircut that actually does look kind of good. Good. I mean, cool, good. I combined both the other. I am intimidated of his hair a little bit, but I'm glad he's suffering this morning and wondering, what the heck are we going to do? Am I going to be around long enough to see us win again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a good direction for Miami right now unless they're just thinking of like bringing a bunch of old guys together and going for one last run. But, I mean, there's some nice pieces, right? I mean, what team would not want Bam Adebayo? I mean, that guy is a defensive mastermind. So he's a nice piece. Caleb Martin last night, minus 35 on his plus minus. So we finally got a new unicorn.
Oh, the new unicorn leader in the clubhouse. He was minus 35. Caleb Martin, not so good to push Tatum like that in game.
No.
Not a good decision, but come back to it to haunt you, those types of things. Jimmy Butler posting that meme about don't let us get one. Not so good. Miami just in full-fledged, like, okay, we're all done. We're an embarrassment. See you later. The Boston Celtics move on. I don't even know when Orlando plays Cleveland. I'm assuming that's tonight, but I envision a game seven in that series because I do think Orlando will win game six. And game seven, I'm pretty sure, is Sunday. So the Celtics, in my book, won't play again until Tuesday next week.
Yeah, we got a long wait for the Celtics. And even when that series started, I mean, who's expecting either team to really compete with the Celtics? So they kind of are going to be cruising until they get the conference finals. The conference finals are going to be intense, though. Whoever they do play is going to play them tough.
So tonight, speaking of that, we got the Milwaukee Bucks at the Indiana Pacers. And the Pacers game, I think that starts just short of 7 o'clock. You got the 76ers game tonight, starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's late night. Did you read this story? Have you seen what the owner of Philadelphia did regarding the tickets?
What did he do? Because, I mean, on last Sunday when they played, there were so many Knicks fans there that there were a whole bunch of people selling their tickets for big money.
So put yourselves in the Philadelphia 76ers fan base's shoes, right? You figured going into the series, hey, you can win. Then you're down and out. The series is over. You're in the Knicks. The fans have been awesome. You're down by 6 with 28 seconds left. No, you come back. Now you come back to Philadelphia where the Knicks invaded your stadium with all their fans. Here's what you get on ESPN this morning, Pistol. The owners of the 76ers and former minority owner Michael Rubin, who also owns that Fanatics company, have purchased tickets for Thursday's Game 6 of Philadelphia's playoff series against the Knicks in an attempt to block New York fans from once again overrunning Wells Fargo Stadium. Knicks fans were an overwhelming presence at Game 4. Sixers star Joel Embiid expressed his disappointment. One day after the 76ers extended the series with an improbable Game 5 victory in New York, Rubin announced Wednesday on social media that he had teamed up with owners Josh Harris, David Blitzer, and David Adelman to purchase more than 2,000 tickets for Game 6. The Fanatics CEO said the tickets would be given to first responders, healthcare professionals, and other local Philadelphia-based organizations, i.e. real Philadelphia 76ers fans will be in the stadium tonight cheering.
Dude, you know what that means. Philly is going, bringing that to Game 7. That is awesome news, right? Like, how great would that be to happen in Boston, too? I was worried. I mean, Slim, do you think that could happen in Boston? Because New York will travel here. And if people are willing to sell their tickets, they'll buy them. They'll pay huge money for that.
Oh, man. I mean, then my take of 6 months will totally be true, right? It would be awful, but because I've been complaining about how bad the Bruins and Celtics fans, the Boston fans are, if they all allow them to come in like termites to come and infest our entire stadium. Oh, man, I'd be so mad.
That would just be a horrible, horrible feeling. I think tonight in Philly is going to be awesome. I'm definitely rooting for Philly just because I want to see that Game 7. And Saturday is going to be an incredible day because we're going to have the first round of Minnesota versus Denver, our first game.
Pistol, there's no way this is correct. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to Minnesota and Denver. I really think Minnesota is going to win that series.
Big boy basketball there.
Yeah, defense. Well, let's go. Minnesota's coming to play the defense. So those games are going to be awesome. Dude, do you know, I'm looking at Action Network right now. Everybody tonight likes Milwaukee to beat Indiana and likes the Knicks to beat Philly. 77% of the money's on the Knicks to beat Philly. I'm not understanding that. I like Philly and Indiana tonight. The opposite is what everybody else likes. Who do you like in these games?
Yeah, I like Philly tonight, especially after what you just told me. I think that's going to make a huge difference. They were lucky to win last game, but the Knicks were lucky to win game two, and the series has just been super, super close and intense. The Milwaukee, I think I might root for them tonight. They're plus 600 to win the series. And they do have a remote chance that Giannis and Lillard play. So that's kind of a fun bet if those two guys end up getting on the court.
What are they saying? He might play tonight? Giannis ain't playing tonight, is he?
They're both listed as doubtful.
Yeah, I can't imagine either of them are going to get out there. I mean, I guess that would be pretty crazy and stuff, but I don't even know if it'll make a difference, honestly. I just think Indiana's too young, hungry, smart. I would say well-coached, but you need to learn to foul Rick Carlisle when you're up by three. I think Indiana will take care of business in that series. Boy, but I have no idea what I'm talking about on the prediction side of things. Just I would definitely tend to agree. Philadelphia, I'm all in on Philadelphia winning this game tonight. This stadium's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Philly had a comeback. Last game, the Knicks were up by six with 28 seconds left. And then Maxey had a four-point play and then hit a freaking logo three-pointer to tie the game and put it into overtime. So a ridiculous way for Philly to keep the series alive.
And you could say that's luck, but on my book, I say that's when it came time to win or lose. You had a player on the 76ers who elevated, and there was nothing the Knicks could do to stop them. Like, the guy's just too good and too talented, and he made it happen. And then they won in overtime. So it was a continuation. Why would anyone think that continuation is going to stop here in Game 6 in front of a frenzied 76ers crowd where everybody's going to be thinking about, we need to make noise. The Knicks fans embarrassed us last time, and now we're adding 2,000 more people who are coming for free. Like, there's a reason why this dude's donating those tickets to these people. Like, they're coming. They're going to be loud. They're real fans.
Dude, these guys have given you a reason to cheer, right? So get behind them, right? Like, that should be awesome. Hey, Slim, did you see Middleton hit the 2 3-point shots in the Milwaukee game to keep that game going? The one of them was a bank shot.
Yeah, so I was disgusted. I was screaming at my TV, need to foul both of them.
Indeed. So what I don't like, so does that reset Middleton's clock?
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, he had a three to put in overtime, then he had a three to tie it in overtime. And I'm like, what if Tatum did that? That's got to reset the clock.
That resets the clock. It's the Jason Tatum game winner or tire countdown clock. I added in the or TIE-ER. So he gets credit if he makes a last second shot that ties a game. Absolutely. It's been forever, dude. He can't do it.
I mean, Miss Middleton had two back to back. I mean, within like 5 minutes of each other.
He does it twice, right? And Tatum can't even get it done once in months. So way to stick the knife in. Even on the day when the Heat get eliminated and you technically or typically would make fun of me for the Heat in my predictions, you know, you still find a way to dig it in with Chris Middleton surpassing Jason Tatum on the countdown clock.
Yeah, we got a lot of resets on the countdown clock. With, you know, Halliburton hit a game winner in that series. Murray, obviously, a couple times. So it's been great.
Let's go, Pistol. Thanks for the call today. I will keep my promise. Plenty of NBA action in the upcoming days. This is the Sports Machine with Slim. I got some Kentucky Derby action coming for you next here. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Couple of real interesting things for you here. As we finish out a Thursday show, the Sports Machine with Slim, New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio. Thanks for listening, people. I got some interesting things that I've accumulated over the last couple days in the sports world. I just wanted to talk about them. We know I started out the show today with the 86-Mets license plate. I still can't believe like the gall of that individual. Just like, ha, 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 ha. Remember that time the ball went right between the guy's legs? He would have won the World Series. He had been in pain for 70 years. And your guy just let the ball go right between his legs and we beat you? This person got some real issues. And it fuels my anger. Thank you. Thank you to the 86 Mets. Thank you for fueling my anger. Because the Bruins are going to take it out on somebody tonight. Quick hitters. Tampa Bay played Florida in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Thomas mentioned it. This was one he thought Tampa Bay was going to win that series. Did you see? And I don't even know the guy's name. I forget the coach of Tampa Bay, but just so everybody knows, like in their last game, the elimination game, I think they lost 4-2. In their elimination game, they had two goals. Tampa Bay did taken off the board. The first goal of the game got taken off the board. And then I think it was when it was 1-1 to go up, it was going to give him a lead, another goal. That got taken off the board, too, both times after review, saying that there was somebody, like, interfering with the goalie. And both times, it was marginal. I will say that. When I looked at it back, like, oh, dude, I don't think either one of those should have been called, but I'm not an expert in the rules and officiating of the NHL. I will say that clearly. But post-game, or maybe it was the next day, actually, the Tampa Bay coach goes on and he's like, well, you know, physicality in the playoffs has been upped. Everybody wants it. But then when it comes to the goaltending, you're not going to allow any of that extra physicality. It just seemed like both of those goals were really, like, those calls were both really marginal. And I take exception with both of those. Like, we may as well just put skirts on the guys out there and not let them touch anybody. And he got a ton of social media blowback for saying, like, the skirts, and he issues an apology I saw yesterday because he has daughters who play sports. Listen, he didn't say anything wrong. The blowback. What an absolute joke this day and age has become. I have a daughter who plays sports, and I want her to be as competitive as she can possibly be. I raise her to be that way every single day. This, so what if you say put skirts on them? You know, some women don't want to play sports. Maybe they're wearing skirts. It's not something you need to apologize for. He said, actually, the post of me saying that afterwards, it's actually been worse on me than losing the series. What an absolute cave job to the media mob. Give me a break. We've been saying that saying for years. Who cares? Somebody's offended. Go protest at one of the campuses. Give me a break. Go protest and you're demanding, like, food be delivered to you, these college kids. I've been saying for 20 years college is a waste of money, $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 a year. These kids ought to be protesting the cost of college. But you know what? They're not protesting because they're not paying for it. The parents are, or they're taking out loans and they're being forgiven, so nobody has to pay for it anyway. So that's why you got a bunch of protesters out there that like won't protest the fact that they're having to pay $60,000 a year to learn nothing, and because they're not going to have to pay it back anyway. Tell me things ain't screwed up. Put skirts on them. Oh, I feel so bad. I can't believe I said that. Come on now. But this, listen. I just mentioned with the pistol, the Minnesota Timberwolves are playing Denver in the next round. Most people think Denver's going to win this series. And I'm on the talent side saying, hey, I think Minnesota's the better team. The odds, they're down to plus 170. They were 190 the other day on the show. But here's the deal. Here's another reason why people, unfortunately, Michael Porter Jr., who's a big-time contributor to the Denver Nuggets team. He was a good reason why they won it last year. He made them deeper. He came up big in some games. His brother, one of his brothers, you got to listen to this, everybody. It was on ESPN. I read this. Javon Porter, a former Pepperdine standout and the younger brother of Denver Nuggets star Michael Porter Jr., was arrested this past Friday night in Missouri on suspicion of DWI. He was stopped for speeding before his DWI arrest. So this guy was playing basketball, was pretty darn good. So that's one of Michael Porter Jr.'s brothers. Well, that happened on the heels of this. The arrest comes 2 weeks after Porter's older brother, Jonte Porter, a two-way player for the Toronto Raptors, was banned from the NBA after an investigation showed that he bet on games, influenced the outcome of bets, and provided confidential information to bettors. He got suspended forever from the NBA, his older brother, just within the last couple weeks. But how about this? He's got another brother. Days after that suspension, another of Javon Porter's older brothers, Coban Porter, a former player at Denver, was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a drunk driving crash that killed a woman in Colorado last year. These are three of Michael Porter Jr.'s brothers. That's this all happening to? That family is in complete disarray, meltdown, horrible situation. Good things don't happen to a family in that type of an environment. Michael Porter Jr., I know he's part of the team with the Nuggets, but dude, he's not going to feel that level of success again, is my contention. When you have that much horrible stuff happening around you, good things don't happen. What an absolutely horrible story to see all of that going on. The Minnesota Timberwolves are taking out Denver. I got news for you. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to take out Denver. They're the better team defensively by a mile. The Denver Nuggets defense is insanely good, and defense travels. The Kentucky Derby. Speaking of traveling, I'm not going to the Kentucky Derby this year, but I would like to. One of these, it's on my bucket list. I'll be at the Belmont Stakes. Saratoga, 5 weeks from Saturday. With the Kentucky Derby, I've gone back and forth a bunch with my brother Dave. I know he's pouring time into the reading the form, looking at different horses. Obviously, a key race was the Risen Star, which is at Fairgrounds, I think down in Louisiana. And the Risen Star involved four or five of the horses that are all going to be in this Kentucky Derby. The thing is, in that race, it was run on sloppy track, which means, you know, ton of rain. And it's different when you're running on a wet track versus a dry track. So you take what you can from that race because, well, we don't even know what the track condition is going to be on Saturday. This is a story that nobody really talks about, but over the last 10 years, the Kentucky Derby, it seems like it's raining, sometimes like for days heading into the event, which takes away from it. It stinks because you want a nice 70-degree sunny day for this. You're going out to party. Everybody's wearing their hats. It's a good time. You're all outside. Well, no, there's weather. The women, they're wearing high heels. You got to watch where you're stepping. My shoes are wet. It's just, you know, it's not as much fun. But the track conditions, too, for the hardcore gamble, it's like, dude, we want a fast, good track. And if we don't know what the track condition's going to be, that affects how you read the form and kind of handicap who you like. Well, I'll just tell you, I listened on the way into a conversation with Todd Strupp, who's on FanDuel TV a lot. And his pick for the race was a horse called Just a Touch, which is a very lightly raced horse. Only has raced three times coming into this race here. And the horse is trained by Brad Cox, who is one of the best trainers in the world, definitely. Owned by Qatar Racing. So the folks from the Middle East, they've come more and more. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, they're big money folks from the oil industry. They've been coming into the horse racing industry a ton. I don't think they've won a Kentucky Derby yet, any of the groups from over there. This Just a Touch horse is Todd Strupp's pick to win it all. And he says the horse just absolutely looks far and away the best, just the way it's built. He said it looks like an Adonis. When you're looking at it from just the viewpoint, there's no question who the best-looking horse is. And to me and you, we look at all of them and go like, wow, hey, they all look incredible. But to his expert eye, he gets paid. He's in the horse racing industry for a living. Like, okay, that matters a little something. Now, he lost to Sierra Leone in his last race, Just a Touch. But what I will say, the three races he ran before, Fairgrounds, he runs 6 furlongs. Aqueduct runs 1 mile, which is 8 furlongs in a mile. Then his next race in Keeneland, he runs in the Bluegrass Stakes. He runs 1 mile and 1/16. The Kentucky Derby is 1 mile and 1/4. All right, so you're running farther. This horse hasn't run that far yet. Most of them, none of them have run 1 mile and 1/4. So you got to figure out the last furlong, who's going to have gas. This horse is out of Tappet, and Justify is the dad. Just a Touch, 10-1. Might want to put Just a Touch of something on there. I will say it's birthday May 5th. 2021. That's the day after the Kentucky Derby. Honor Marie is the 7 horse, May 4th, 2021. So the Derby is running on Honor Marie's birthday. Interesting. Let's go Bruins. The Sports Machine with Slim. You've been here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com, 86-Mets, I hate you.